Let's go back to our phone lines. Thanks, everybody, for waiting. Some of you have been waiting quite long, and I appreciate your patience. San Jose, California. Linda, how can I help you?
Yes, Father, this regards the Holy Souls in Purgatory. After Mass each day at my local church, we pray the rosary, and then afterwards we invocate the Sacred Heart, Blessed Mother. The angels and saints pray for us, and holy souls or blessed souls pray for us. I was told that they cannot pray for us, and not to do that, not to say that. Is that correct, Father?
Now, you know, I got a similar question this morning on Morning Air, and I think this is an open theological question, because I believe that as members of the body of Christ, they can pray for others. They just can't pray for themselves because of the situation they're in. But I may be wrong on that, and I was going to actually be talking to some theologians that I know who know this area of theology better than I to double-check this. But I don't see how members of the body of Christ can't pray for each other, even for those who are in purgatory. And I don't see why they wouldn't be able to. Part of what they're having, what is going on, is an increase in charity that they need to become perfected. So my personal theological opinion as it stands now, and I'm open to being corrected, that's why I'm saying this is my personal theological opinion, is that the souls of purgatory could pray for us, but they can't just they can't in their circumstances pray for themselves. So, but I'll check that with some theologians, like I said, who know eschatology better than I, just to see if I'm correct. If I'm not, I'll correct myself on air. When we do speculative theology, we sometimes can get things wrong. And so that's how I understand it. And I hope I have that right.
I hope so, because I thought they can pray for me, I can pray for them, and that we're a universal church.
Right. I see so no reason why that wouldn't make, from what I know of the theology involved, but I'm going to, you know, double check with those who know better than I. I do know there's there are theologians who disagree with me. I do know that, that there are theologians who teach what you heard, Linda, but I don't think, I'm almost positive the church hasn't ruled definitively on this, but again, this is the type of thing we need to do some more research on.
Okay, and also, Father, it was a priest that told me who lives at that parish. Do I need to obey him and leave it off, or what should I do?
Yeah, if he's asked for that to be left off, I just would do that. I mean, I think that's, you know, just being respectful to the local pastor. And again, we're dealing with areas of speculative theology.
Ah, okay, that's great, Father. Thank you for clearing that up, and hopefully you'll find out through theologians what the correct thing is.
Yeah, that's what I love about this show. It's all... Right. I love about the questions I get, because it always is causing me to do more research, to continue. As I said yesterday, we all should continue in growing in faith and understanding of the faith. So that's a great thing about all the questions I get here. They really challenge me to do that. And I said I would mention some of Paul's references on where he asked about holding out to the end. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. He talks about holding out to the end with Christ. He talks in Galatians 5:4 about being separated from Christ and falling from grace and the possibility of doing that even after one is committed to Christ. In 1 Corinthians, both chapter 9 and 10, he also talks about fear of being disqualified after all the work he's done for Christ. He asks for prayers and help that he will persevere. And he says in 1 Corinthians 10, if you look at verses 11 and 12 here, it says, that those thinking they are secure may fall. So there's plenty more of these examples where Paul recognizes the need for final perseverance.